Welcome to Elevate with V, a nurturing and collaborative community with a mission of empowering you to overcome challenges and to live your most extraordinary life. I'm your host, V, and through my own healing and transformational journey, I've encountered a wide variety of healers who have all in their own way shared one universal message, that every storm has a silver lining. Join me in each episode as I engage in meaningful conversations to empower us to transform our darkness into purposeful light. On this podcast, we elevate. So let us journey together and be lifted up to our greatest potential. Welcome, everyone, to Elevate with V. I had the pleasure of being invited as a guest on the Rabia and Sana show. We dived into some cultural aspects and influences in my life and my journey. I hope you enjoy this wonderful collaboration.
Welcome to the Rabia and Sana show. We're two Desi girls reinventing cultural norms with love to make difficult conversations easier to help you take courageous steps faster.
Whether you feel like a misfit now or have been breaking the standards, this podcast is for you, for the adults, the young. Come as you be and become your authentic self as you desire. Let's go reinvent some cultural norms together.
Hello, everyone. I am Rabia Paracha. I have been a rebel without a cause for most of my life until I discovered my purpose to empower women to empower themselves. And that led me down a rabbit hole to become a life coach from CTI Coactive Coaching. And today, I'm a mind and life power coach who helps people break free of their limiting cultural beliefs to find the life they love and the love of their life.
Hello, everyone. I am Sana. I am from New Jersey, a Pakistani American. Professionally, I work in the clinical research field. And personally, I have always had this purpose of empowering women of South Asian culture to be able to live the life that they want to live and be true to themselves instead of what the culture expects them to be. And so here I am pursuing that purpose. And I am also studying to become a life coach. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode. I'm so happy to be here today. We have Vanita Santoshi with us and so excited to hear all about her tonight.
Welcome, Vanita, to the Rabia and Sana Show podcast. It's so good to have you. A little bit about Vanita. Vanita has a diverse path. She went from a graphic designer to concierge to a food planner, an energy healer, and now she is a podcast creatrix. She has dealt with some very challenging cards in her life, and that inspired her to launch her podcast called Elevate with V. We are really excited to talk to Vanita tonight and to hear more about her journey. So welcome, Vanita.
Thank you both so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. And you know, Vanita, we met on Clubhouse and it was this instant connection that we all have discussed so many times prior to this podcast interview. You're such an amazing energy, and you obviously, from your experience in life, have had such a robust and diverse life experience, you know, from all the way from a concierge to an energy healer. Like, I mean, that's a huge transition. And so happy to have you here. You know, what I want to ask you is, how have you been reinventing cultural norms? I would love for our audience to know.
Wow, good question. So reinventing cultural norms, I feel like to some degree, I have always been doing it. Even as a young kid, I remember I never fit in. Always saw myself as, I don't like to say black sheep, I'm going to say colorful sheep. Mm-hmm. I always saw myself that way, and I just couldn't understand, like, why? Because, you know, I would hear all the cultural things. I would hear things from my parents. You know, I'm from India, and I didn't always resonate with stuff. I would question, I'm like, but why? But why do we have to do that? I don't understand. And then when I would ask for explanation, usually I would get yelled at. It's like, this is just how we do it. you know? So it's almost like, don't ask questions. And I would sort of participate, but I, you know, you could always tell that I wasn't wholeheartedly into it because I just didn't quite agree. But there wasn't a lot of space for me to really express, especially as a kid, right? You know, you're just like, just follow the game, follow the rules, do all of those things. And I found myself as I was like going through, you know, my childhood, adulthood, I knew I was someone who was quite outspoken. And you both will probably agree that as a woman in a family, like that's not always appreciated. So mm-hmm. I was shut down a lot, but that was just who I was. And I think using that, that's a lot of who I am even today is like, if I see things, I'm going to ask, I'm going to challenge. And if I don't hear something that makes sense, I'm going to kind of just do my own thing. So I think I've always been that way. So I feel like I'm always kind of reinventing, and everything that I've done, like even my careers, like the stuff that I've done, most people from our culture don't lean in those directions. You know, they don't go to art school. They don't become a concierge. They not necessarily become an energy healer. So I think it's just something that's just part of my DNA, and I'm just so used to it. But when you ask the question, I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, I think I'm doing that all the time.
It comes naturally to you to challenge the status quo. And would you consider yourself a rebel?
I would probably say yes. Being kind of a rebel, nonconformist, definitely is very much part of my blood.
So what was it, Vinita, that made you realize that it is these cultural norms that you just don't agree with and that you want to do something differently? When did you pinpoint to the cultural thing?
Yeah, I think I just sensed it, you know, even as a kid, which was so surprising to me when I think back, it's like, I just knew that things didn't feel right. But everybody else around me seemed to be okay and just going with the flow. I'm like, I'm always the outsider. I'm always the one who's like, I'm feeling this, but there was nobody for me to talk to. There's nobody who I felt was similar enough or that I had a comfort that I could say something, you know, like, for example, you know how we're always told, don't ever like speak back to your elders, like whatever they say, you just say yes. And you just like, you know, listen. And I would observe and hear them saying things. And I'm like, wow, that is not right. That is not right. But I couldn't say anything, you know, so I would like go and tell my mom or somebody, but I know nothing really happened. So it took just sort of understanding that there are boundaries, regardless of me being outspoken. I still didn't have spaces to be able to express. But I knew, I just always knew that things were a little bit off.
From what I'm understanding is you did have a family and a home life where you could be yourself.
To a certain degree, because again, you know, like my dad, I would say, was fairly conservative. And even though he worked a job that was not, his values are very conservative. To even have a daughter who would like, let's just say, argue sometimes or not agree with what he was saying, I know for him was definitely uncomfortable. So that's not the norm. He didn't grow up that way. He grew up as, you know, the male dominant in the family, and everybody kind of just like did whatever. So I would say that I did my best to kind of just like fit in. I do think my parents thankfully did give me enough space. Like it wasn't too tight, but I just always knew that I couldn't quite be myself.
So you've had this journey from such diverse industries to becoming a healer. How did you become a healer? Where did this journey sort of start and take you to this direction?
Yeah, so I think for me, you know, I went to school to be a graphic designer. That in itself was like really different. And but my parents allowed me, thankfully. They didn't try to force me into some like, you know, pigeonhole, like, no, you're Desi, you need to follow these three things, because a lot of us have been subjected to that, right? And even though I understand our parents had the best of intentions, you know, at the same time, it was, you know, not always our choice. But anyways, I think from there, when I kind of was in this space of, I just like to experience a lot of things, that's just my nature. And so I kind of fell into becoming a concierge. I was also working as a graphic designer at an advertising agency at the same time. And then once I started to do the concierge work, I'm like, oh my God, this is so fun. I love it. It suits my personality, all of these things. And then that kind of like led me into, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I was always like, oh, I'll do it when I'm XYZ age, or I'll do it when I'm da 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 da. So some opportunity came across actually from a neighbor, and she was an amazing cook. And somehow we ended up doing a food business together. And I
absolutely loved it. It's almost like, you know how we say we have all these experiences and you have all these tools in your toolbox? It's like every tool that I had was like completely like in alignment with what we were doing. So it was my joy, my pride. Like, I just love this business. And we were getting in a place, we were ready to like just expand and grow. We were getting ready to get on Amazon. We had a co-packer, like lots of exciting stuff. But there were some cracks in the business partnership. And I was very keen on like, well, you know, the same way that people get counseling for their relationships, I'm sure there's like business counseling, like, let's go do that, right? Because we're not being able to resolve it. Unfortunately, that was not something that my business partner felt that, you know, she wanted to do. So needless to say, long story short, we ended up having to like close the business down. And I had to do it by myself because she made some other choices. And that completely shattered me. I was completely devastated. And I could tell in that process, and this was 2019, where I could feel the trauma that was getting stored in my body from just, you know, there's so many things. We've all been through experiences where you feel like you're the victim, you've been stabbed in the back and the rug was pulled out from under your feet and all of these things. So I was experiencing all of those things. And so when I finished closing the business, I already knew, I said, oh my goodness, I need to do something to kind of like heal myself. Like this is, I'm like not in a good place in every imaginable way, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And that's kind of when I kicked into my healing journey in 2020, perfect alignment with the pandemic. I had 24/7 to work on myself, and I diligently went in to do that work. And that process is what kind of led me into exploring my spirituality and kind of leaning towards like, oh, I'm really interested in energy healing work. And so that's kind of how I kind of spun in that direction. So kind of a longer answer to your question, but that's kind of the journey.
Well, that's amazing. And the timing couldn't have been better because of the pandemic. This whole partnership that you talked about, where was the, you know, was the rug pulled from under your feet that you didn't see it coming, that it was a total shock? And then you had to rebuild, you had to close down and almost start all over again.
Yes.
And that, but this time you took a new turn and you went inwards rather than starting a new business, for example, right? So you became your business is kind of what I'm hearing. And that's so cool because a lot of us would just think about starting another business, you know, and so healing, inner work, what did that mean?
Yeah, it was really interesting because I didn't exactly know what I was doing. I just knew that I was ready for it. And so, you know, people always talk about when you're in the spiritual world, like you have guides, you have people that are guiding you and helping you. And I don't know that I was in touch with any of that stuff. I just knew that I needed to like get to work. So I actually started my journey by going to an Ayurvedic center for 21 days, did a complete panchakarma, which if people are familiar with that, that's like a full body detox. So it's definitely not for the faint of heart, but it was what I needed because I needed to physically get the pain out of my body and then move over to the mental, spiritual, emotional. And in terms of that journey, I must have been guided to some degree because I think just everything that I was looking at, it would lead me to the next thing. And it was really a lot of like deep inquiry, right? Because it went from feeling like a complete victim and how did all of this happen? How did my perfect universe completely crumble right in front of me, right? You're like, how could that happen? I'm a good person. Like this shouldn't be happening to me. And then realizing that, as you keep doing the work, and for all of us that are in that space where we're willing to look at some of those spaces, you find the common denominator, who happens to be me. I was like, oh, how interesting. Okay, so what responsibility do I need to take? What did I do here? And by the way, how many times have I repeated this pattern? Or, you know, so there was a lot of deep inquiry. So again, this is not easy work, but the rewards of doing the work are immense. And you might not be able to see it in that moment. And I certainly didn't. But I also felt like, okay, I'm making progress. I'm making some progress as I'm moving along. And so I knew that I was heading in the right direction. I could feel it.
Mm. That's very interesting, Vinita, because, you know, if I was in that situation, and I think most people are, having something that is so dear to you, like you're saying, that business was so dear to you, it meant so much, and having it all taken away. And yet you went out and you seek the help and you did that inner work and you knew that you needed to do that. You know, for me, it's that knowing that what am I supposed to do? You know, you get down, and when something is so important, it takes so long to understand that I'm the one who needs to work on myself right there. So, you know, I think that's really awesome. But what I want to know is, being in a food business as a woman, right, as a female, that is so, I've never heard of that in our Desi culture. And when it didn't work out, did you face backlash from the culture? And yet you still kept your head high and you still went and you did the inner healing. What was that like? And did you actually face some backlash, cultural backlash?
You know, surprisingly, no backlash from that. I will say that it was truly such an enjoyable experience. And the products that we were making were Indian. They were actually South Indian comfort food.
Nice.
So just beautiful, clean food. And, you know, a lot of our customers were actually not Desi, because most of us make this stuff at home, right? It's just so easy.
I'll make it, but I don't want to eat it.
And so it was really interesting. We started getting a lot more sort of, I would say, Indian and Pakistani customers later, but it was more to do with, you know, couples who are both working really like busy. They've got kids. It's like, oh my God, please, thank you. I need this. Or parents are like, oh my God, my kid is in college. This would be amazing for them, because all they can do is have like one pot, and you're selling one pot meals, you know? So I would say that in my experience, everybody was so incredibly supportive. Now, when things closed down, it all kind of happened in a way where I wasn't able to inform a lot of people. So they must have noticed, you know, but there was nobody that, you know, said anything negative to me. I think it was more of like, oh my God, I miss your food. How do I get that? How do I get your products? You know, so in that sense, it felt wonderful. And also in the process of closing the business, you know, we had inventory, we had things, right? And somehow all the stores that we were part of, I went to each of them, every single one bought as much as they could. So I felt that support that said that, you know what, you guys created something amazing. I mean, to me, these were like my babies, right? So when everything did end, you are right. For me, it felt like a death and a divorce at the same time. So it's like dealing with two big punches at the same time.
And I'm sure that comes with a grieving period. It's just like losing somebody. It's losing a big part of your life, and you have to do the whole grieving process and going through it.
Yes.
That must have been when you went into that detox, so to speak, and you went inwards, there must have been a lot of release, a lot of that enlightenment, that process that you go through where you're shedding and you're releasing and you're learning. And so in this whole process of, you know, losing a business, losing a friend, and then finding yourself. As you said, it wasn't easy. It was like a punch in the gut. You really had to do a lot of deep and difficult work, because to look at yourself, to flash the mirror on yourself, like you said, where how was I a part of this? Taking that responsibility. What does taking responsibility look like? Like, what was it that you were torn between? Because it's not just like a platter that's given to you, from my experience, and maybe it was for you. But I want to know, you know, what does taking responsibility for your life mean?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me that came up is, once I realized that I was a common denominator, I really had to stop and think. It's like, you know, has this pattern showed up in my life before? And sure enough, it had. And that pattern for me was, you know, I'm an empath. A lot of people might not be familiar with that term, but, you know, it's not about empathy. It's actually about someone who is, you know, very much a feeler. Like, you feel a lot and your heart is so big and you want to help everybody. You want to do things. And, you know, you're always on that space of like sharing your heart space with others. But it can also be a detriment, because you also don't understand boundaries. You don't understand your own energy, what you might need. You're such a giver, you forget that you're part of the equation of also needing to take care of yourself. So I saw that that was another pattern that I was repeating of also almost like, you know, when you meet someone, when I meet people, I see the highest version of them always. Like I will see you in your highest light, which is wonderful. However, you might not be there yet. So mm-hmm. I also have to meet you where you're at, seeing your full potential, but not necessarily engaging with you that you've already reached your full potential. So that was something that I had to look at and understand. So that was kind of a really big piece for me, is this pattern of, you know, always giving so much of myself and realizing that I was not always part of the equation. So that was a big part of the healing process and ownership of that, right? To say, okay, and who am I allowing and attracting into my space? Because I've attracted this, right? Like all of this happened, how? It can't just happen by magic. I invited it, I allowed it. And so now there's some consequences, right? So things like that, those were some things that like showed up for me in a big way. And I think the more I was able to lean into those pieces where I could heal parts of myself, it kind of allowed me to kind of like move forward and also have a different perspective of the events that happened. So I wasn't now a victim anymore. Oh, I wasn't XYZ. Now I could say, okay, how can I use this to empower myself? What have I learned? What are my boundaries? How am I going to operate in the future? You know, so things like that.
And how did that play out? So you recognize your patterns, take an ownership. How is it going to play out? So what changed as a result of this decision to go inwards and heal? So today, what's different?
I would say the big difference is really understanding my boundaries. Being very careful to still be empathic and be loving and kind and nurturing to others, but also giving myself those things, making time for myself. I think the thing that was really important is to notice the red flags. When things show up, not to just say, oh no, these people are just wonderful, they're amazing, and they are, but if they're showing you who they are, like really listen and pay attention and just see how I feel around people and use that as my guide, because I would always go to my head instead of my heart and, you know, use that to make my decisions. And I think it also, in some sense, forced me to release a lot of relationships and friendships that I did have because they were no longer a match for who I was becoming or stepping into. And that's kind of a challenging process too, from all that loss to now have more loss, right? And unfortunately, that also included some family in the process. So, you know, it's a never ending process, right? It's just like there's so many layers, but I could tell that I was like making progress. So where I'm sitting today, this journey has allowed me to really kind of understand myself better, to appreciate myself, and to also make different choices and to be very clear, like, what is it that I want to do now? And that's kind of how my podcast came around. It was because I realized that there must have been so many other people like me who were kind of like navigating their healing journeys, thinking that they're completely alone. There's no support. And to say, you know what, now that I have a little bit of experience and I've met some amazing people, that we can share this information and let's all heal together.
That's really, really amazing, Vinita. I just really want to know how did you even know that you need to look for those patterns? How did you know that you need to create boundaries with the people and the relationships? Like, was it something that just intuitively came to you, or was it everything that you learned in your healing? How did you know to do these things?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think what happened is initially, this is just usually what happens in your healing journey. You're going to be completely alone in the beginning, because let's just be honest, we're kind of a mess in the beginning, right? You're crying, you've got every emotion under the sun. Like, you probably can't even have a proper conversation with someone because you're so emotional. So it's sort of like I had to navigate a little bit of that by myself the first couple of months. Yeah. And, you know, again, in isolation, but suddenly as I started to do the work, and it's like, you know how like you get the breadcrumbs, like one crumb leads to the next thing. And then slowly I was in a place where I was like, okay, I think I'm ready now to like start like receiving information. Now, during the pandemic, social media actually really helped me, right? Because I was now going to people's Facebook groups or pages, and there were other coaches and healers who were further along in their journey, who were now able to offer some tools and tips like, hey, if you're here, why don't you try this? Or why don't you try that? So suddenly I had some guidance coming in externally, offering different things to try out. And it's like anything, right? There's going to be 20 different tools, but maybe only four or five are for you. So then I would just kind of be like, okay, that feels right, or this feels right. So I did definitely have that show up. And truly, those people helped me so much. And they're the first people that were on my list for my podcast, because I'm like, you all helped me. And I am now going to pay it back and pay it forward as my way of saying thank you, because you poured into me. Now let's start pouring into other people.
That's so amazing, because sounds a lot like my personal healing process as well. And we discussed that the other day, that I started going to all these energy healers, all these different types of modalities that you had never heard of, and going into these alternative and, you know, complementary techniques, that they really help you find parts of yourself that you didn't know that they exist. And it's like this flower that comes to life, I think. And I see that, and I see that star behind you, like your star, your radiance right behind you. And so I remember you saying to us at some point that you felt like a misfit, but you also felt like you were underrepresented. What do you mean? How were you underrepresented?
You know, underrepresented, I think, like, believe it or not, even like in the food business, right? How you were saying earlier that, you know, we were like one of the only ones amongst probably 40 to 50 foodpreneurs, and we were the only one, you know, in that group. So that was different. But it's something that I've dealt with all my life, right? Like being a concierge, there wasn't a single Indian person in the entire industry in Chicago. I'm like, how is this possible? But then I'm like, of course it's possible, because people don't look at this as a career, right? They're gonna be like, I'm not gonna do that, you know? So when I was a graphic designer, when I was in art school, there wasn't one Desi person to be found, right? And in fact, I was very judged. Like when I would tell people, I said, oh, I'm going to art school, you know, there were some conversations going on in their head. They're like, oh, poor thing, she must not be very smart. Or she's like, oh, goodness, her poor parents were like, well, let's just make her do something. We can't have her sit at home. You know what I mean? Like, they'd be like, oh, she's obviously not smart. I mean, otherwise, she'd be like in this other major.
A doctor.
Right, exactly. Or she'd be an MBA, or she'd be an engineer. Oh, poor thing. Yeah. So it's really kind of funny, because I have felt like that has been my experience, because I told you I've never taken the regular path. So because I'm always off path, there's usually nobody there. So I'm usually the one hanging out representing for myself. So
you're carving your path. You're carving your path, which is, you know, I love the poem by David Frost is, I took the path less traveled, and that's made all the difference in the world. And I think that is so beautiful. And you're reminding me of that, you know, forge your own way. Don't be stuck in these stereotypes. Don't be stuck in what other people want. And from what I'm hearing from you, it was all intuitive. That's what I'm sensing from you, that there was this inner guide, intuition, or this inner sensory mechanism that's guiding you in a direction that's fully your own. Was it always comfortable? Was it always following that path, going into the space that's not the common, that's not the wanted or expected? Was it just, was it flow, or were you battling something in the inner world? Yeah, I want this, but they want something different.
You know, it's really interesting. I think because I've always been slightly, like, I don't know what other word to use, like a slightly defiant, like always from like when I was very young. So it was almost like I just somehow, and I think what you're saying is right, my intuition was telling me something, and it was a question of whether I could align with it, right? Because I would see the external circumstance, and it's probably not the most supportive, right? So it's sort of like, well, what am I going to do, right? Am I going to please myself? I'm going to please them. So it's probably a combination, but I would say that if I was persistent enough, I would be able to get my way, you know? So I think that's kind of what I did. Like I would be persistent. And so I was able to do the things that I wanted. But if I had probably been quiet, I absolutely would have been a completely different direction. So thankfully, whatever the strong inner guidance was, and like I said, I have to say thank you to my parents too, like regardless of them being in slight, you know, different cultural norms and things like that, because we didn't grow up in India, I do think because they were also exposed to so much, they were more open to other things, you know? And so I know that that helped me. Like for me to go to school for graphic design, I don't know that that could have been a normal occurrence. Like, I don't know that that would have happened, or for them to support me. Oh, I'm going to go be a concierge. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, okay. Oh, you're going to have a food business. Interesting. So, you know, I think it was always sort of like, I'm just going to do things. And I think for me, there's also this thing of like, I have to try things. That's just my nature. Like, I would rather try something and fail than not try it, because I don't want to have a regret. Like, I've always been that person that I want to get to a certain age and say, oh my God, I had those five amazing ideas, but now I can't do them because, you know, like life has flown by.
Amazing.
Wow, that's so cool. I think it was really interesting when you said earlier about there are certain things that resonate to certain people that would make them realize what they need to do or what path they need to go to. Because like you were saying, and Rabia is saying, you guys did the alternative healing and things like that. And I tried those too early on in my journey. And I came out of them thinking that it did nothing for me. Right. So that didn't work for me, even though that's what people were saying. And I tried it, but it was because I was so into my beliefs at that point, and I was so in my overthinking, and I was so into blaming myself and shaming myself that I hadn't even, you know, that healing would never even work because I was in my own inner trauma so much. And I think that that was just, you know, just, I'd love that when you said that it depends and it's different for everyone on what kind of calling and what will make a change for anyone.
So I have a question. And what would you, knowing now, knowing what you know, and having traveled this path, what would you do differently with what you know?
You know, I'll be honest, absolutely nothing. I would do nothing differently. I truly like sitting where I'm sitting, even if I didn't understand things when they happen, in my darkest moments, in those times when the universe just like literally slaps you both, you know, on the left and right cheek, mm-hmm. I would still say sitting where I am sitting, I would not change one thing, because every single experience has brought me to where I am right now. And I truly feel that I am in full alignment with like my soul's purpose, like right now, even though I know I have so much more that I'm going to explore and do, there's absolutely nothing that I would change. I truly embrace it all. And I actually am in a place where now, I couldn't have done this a year or two ago, but to actually have gratitude for every single person that I might have perceived as a block or someone who might have done something to me, or, you know, because they all came in as teachers, right? They gave me an opportunity. It wasn't pleasant, but they gave me an opportunity to really explore and learn more about myself and work towards being the best version of who I can become. So I'm truly grateful, really, for every single person, the good, the bad, the ugly. I embrace it all.
Well, that is a true sign of someone who has healed. That, what you just said, really is the signature of healing. And to be able to learn the lesson from the pain and make it into something that you can take forward. And personally, I always say this, is that once we find that healing, once we're healed, we turn that trauma into a gift. And it's not to say that the trauma was good, because I never want anyone to experience pain and some of the things that I've experienced. That is, I don't even want my enemies, and not that I have any, but I don't want them to ever feel that pain and be alone and helpless. I think the worst thing that anyone can experience is helplessness, that not knowing what to do. But, and all of us at some point will be there. How long we stay there is a choice. And it sounds kind of harsh and cruel when you hear it for those that are in that place. It seems difficult, and that's not where I'm coming from. I believe you understand what I'm saying. And that, for me, like what you just said, is so powerful, to transform something that was so chaotic and hurtful into a blessing. And, you know, just I'm warm right now. There's this warm and nice and cozy feeling, even though we're all in this technology-based Zoom call here. It's just very nice to hear that you're so content with where you are. And I think beyond happiness, gratefulness and gratitude is what happens in that place of peace. And I see you radiate peace. You have this. I'm just so happy that we get to hear your story.
Do you still do energy healing, Vinita?
Yes. So I am a quantum healer. It's just the beginning level. So I do it. I do it just for myself and my family and my friends at this point. But I am looking to kind of deepen the practice and do some more things. I have many more things that I want to explore. So I would say that I'm still kind of early in my spiritual gifts and exploration, but I'm just enjoying the process. And I think, you know, just really trusting the universe that, you know, the universe is guiding me. It's brought me to this place. And I know there's many more exciting things to come, and to just, you know, to be present and to try to enjoy. I have to remind myself, you know, all the time, and also to not forget that each one of us, like, you know, all of us here today on the call, to really just stop and just look at what we have each done, like to just appreciate that, right? Because I think we get so busy with so many things. It's like, wow, what's the work that we've done? What have we accomplished? What do we have to do to come and be in the space that we're sitting in right now? You know, so
acknowledging yourself, a big part of that healing process. Never forget yourself in that, because like you said earlier on, you have been the common denominator in your life, and that common denominator did lots of great things. And it's to remember those things, because as human beings, we're always looking at what went wrong. And so acknowledging yourself is such a huge part of this process. It's been so amazing to have you here with us, that it's late in all our time zones, but it's been, I'm sure we could just talk all night as well, but I know that we should wind down because it is late. But I want to ask you, if you could tell our listeners, if you could give them three things that you could leave them with, that they could find their healing from, what would those three things be?
I would say that number one, you are exactly where you're meant to be in this very now moment. Do not be hard on yourself. Know that even though you feel that you're not supported and loved, you have so many people, even if that's in the spirit world. I don't know that everybody believes in that, but just think of anyone that's passed on that you love. Trust that they're supporting you and loving you from the other side. And I would say just take one step at a time, and know that you're worth it. You're amazing. You're unique. You have so many gifts to share. So just keep going and don't forget to love yourself.
Amazing. That was a bonus. Yay!
You love yourself. That's awesome. It's a very inspiring and a very motivating story, Vinita. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, just amazing. And if our viewers, listeners want to reach you, how can they find you?
Yes. So people can find me on my podcast as well. It's called Elevate with V. And I am sure you will be wonderful and kind to put my information in the bio section. But you can find me there. You can also find me on Instagram. I am on Clubhouse as well. So just really kind of enjoying all these wonderful spaces. So thank you so much.
Amazing, amazing. And so, Sena, it's that time of our night.
Yep, that time. We are
two busy girls reinventing cultural norms
with love.
Bye
bye. Thank you, Vinita. Bye.
Bye.
Love you all.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please rate, subscribe, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow The Rabia and Sana Show on social medias.
Remember, you can watch the video version on YouTube, and don't forget to share, like, and subscribe.
If you want life coaching services or you are reinventing cultural norms for yourself and think you would be a great guest and want to be on our show, please email contact@therabiaandsanashow.com.
And be sure to check out our next episode. See you next time.
See you next time.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this episode of Elevate with V. I'm super grateful for your precious time that you take to listen to these episodes. I hope that there were some valuable insights and tools to map onto your own journey. If you think that this content would be valuable for somebody else that you know, I would greatly appreciate you sharing it. If you have been loving this podcast, I would so appreciate it if you would follow, rate 5 stars, and leave an amazing review on Apple Podcasts, and please follow and rate 5 stars on Spotify. Higher ratings and great reviews allows this content to get out to more people. Let's support each other and elevate together. Thank you again for spending your time listening and tuning in each week. I look forward to catching you on the next episode.